Just wanted to kind of open up with kind of a confirmation from what we've heard over the past year with just the word tired. Last year in camp, it was brought up, and we prayed about it and kind of how it's, you know, as a church we're tired, as a nation we're tired, as, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually, we're all tired. And I think that's no truer than the times today. Tim Merwin shared it again when he was here at the men's meeting, whatever it was, a couple months ago, about being tired, and he had a sense that we were tired. And I definitely agree. It was a confirmation that, yes, absolutely, I know I'm tired, and I think others in the church are tired. But it also gives us a hope, because we don't have to stay tired, because we have a hope in Jesus Christ. And, you know, right now, the last couple of days, I've got to shingle my mom's roof with my aunts and uncles and cousins and different things like that. And that's not something I do. So I'm tired physically. So if I bring a chair up here and sit down, it's nothing against you. It's just I'm tired. But it's how you respond to it. And last night after we got off the roof after 12 hours, we ate supper at my mom's. I came home and Tessa greeted me with, "Do you want me to run you a bath, honey?" And I thought she was kind of joking, but she could see me walking in like an old man. So I took her up on the offer, and I don't know what she put in there. She put in some oils and some salts, but man, when I hopped in that bath, I was all tingly, and I don't know what it was, but wow, it was awesome. It was refreshing, actually. It really was, and I got to just sit in there and hear noises. No, I did. I got to just really relax. She took care of the kids. I got to pray. I got to listen to music. I got to read scripture and just further preparation of today. And it was really just a blessed time. It seems odd, but it doesn't matter where you're at. You can always be just meeting with the Lord. And I got to do it on the roof. I was praying all day. You know, my family, you know, "Are you coming tomorrow morning?" "No, I'm preaching." And they're like, "Oh, well, you can come afterwards and help." So I might speak for 3 hours. We'll call at noon and see if they're done. If they're done, you're free. If not, I'm going to keep going because I don't want to go back. So and again, I think just that's not the stop of it with being tired, because really what matters is if we're spiritually tired, we need to be refreshed. Physically, you can overcome those barriers. Emotionally, you can overcome those barriers, but it's only through Christ that we can do it. All of those are only taken care of by Him. By taking this bath physically, I was overcome, but my body will wear down. Eventually, I will be more tired, and I'll have to, you know, go back through the process, because we're human, right? And so what I wanted to do is just remember, last week was obviously 9/11. 15 years ago, most of you probably remember what you were doing on that day. I was a student at Minnesota West. I was sitting at home doing homework. I was actually living with my mom and dad at the time, and I was watching the Today Show and saw this all happen and go down. And I think it's kind of a testimony of what's happening in the culture. That was 15 years ago. Things changed. That day will forever live in a day that we'll remember, just like so many other events in your life, whether it's on a world scale or on a personal scale. But those are the things that make us who we are. And as a nation, on that day, we came together for a period of time that was overwhelming, with a movement towards church and people not knowing what to do, so they were lost and they were worried, so they had to come together. And the only thing that brought them together was Christ. And now 15 years later, we see a wavering away from Christ again in great measures. And so what I wanted to do is show this video. It's just 2-minute clip to kind of remember 9/11, remember what happened, and kind of what gives us hope. And then I want to talk about faith, hope, and love, which just really hit me while we were singing. That's all we sang about this morning. It was just amazing. And it was just, again, an encouragement to me, knowing as I was preparing for the message that the Lord's in this. He's leading it. He's only using me as a vessel. So we're just going to watch this, and then we'll kind of share a little bit based off of what's in the video. So.
The world was different that day. The economy was booming. 401ks were solid. And if asked, 8 out of 10 Americans wouldn't be able to define the word jihad. On that day, something happened that changed everything. That day was a Tuesday. For most of us, our only connection to the events of that day was what we saw on television. However, we are all connected and that we all have a place. For some of us, it's a spot on the highway. For others, it's in an office. Or at coffee with a friend. It's the place we will never forget. The place where we watched it happen on that day. So here we are, many days later, still hurt, still angry, still trying to understand why. 1 Corinthians 13 explains that we don't see things clearly right now. In essence, we just won't be able to understand in this lifetime things like what happened on that day. However, it goes on to say that one day we will see all things clearly. But until that day comes, we have three things to embrace to help us in our reconciliation: faith in God, unswerving hope, and love. And the greatest of the three is love. Through the shock and the horror, something else happened on that day. Although the evil intentions appeared to be a success, our country embraced the complete opposite of what was intended. Instead of division, there was unity. Instead of confusion, there was clarity. Instead of falling apart, we banded together. But then again, that's the way one nation under God will always respond.
So that last statement was one nation under God. Are we one nation under God? 15 years later, I think sometimes it's hard to see that, and it gets closer and closer to home. This event happened 15 years ago. Last night, just in St. Cloud, there were stabbings in the mall. 8 people were stabbed, and you know, some of the news feeds were saying that the gentleman was asking people if they knew Allah. And this stuff is getting closer and closer to home, guys. This is happening. This is real. Evil is real. And it's hard to try to get a grasp around. You know, you can be tired, you just want to give up sometimes. But in those verses that we see, in what God gives us, is a confirmation and a testimony that it's not what here that matters, it's what's to come. And we need to be prepared, we need to be ready for that. So we need to make sure that as we get through our trials, and we go through our high times with the Lord, that we truly believe and we can see what he has to offer us. So if you would, open up your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And what we're going to do is just read through... let's just read through chapter 13, and then we'll kind of spin off from there and go to different verses throughout Scripture. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to the feed the poor, and though I give my body to the burned, but not have love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whatever there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in this part. But then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So I think we'll just kind of go through each one of those, faith, hope, and love. And we could go lots of places in Scripture. But I think what we need to be reminded of is what the Lord has for us. And again, to get over that tiredness, because we can't always tarry in being tired, because he has a hope for us, and we need to move on from that. We need to be joyous people, because if we're just going to walk around all mundane in public, people aren't going to want what we have, because we're just the same. So we need to truly live by the Scripture. We need to believe what the Scripture says. And even though we're going through something, we need to get over it, get over ourselves, get away with our pride, get away with our selfishness, and move on and trust that the Lord is working in this nation right now, and he is. So let's look at faith first. Just the definition of faith is a belief, a trust, and loyalty to a person or thing. So obviously we have faith in God. It's something that we have to trust him for things that we do not see. And there's a lot of places in Scriptures that you can go to. And when you look at it, let's just turn to Matthew 8. And I'll just make reference to some Scriptures so we can get through all this. But Matthew 8, this is kind of the story of the centurion servant. Yeah, so in verse 13, obviously you can read before that, but in verse 13 it says, "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." So obviously he had faith in what the Lord had for him. Looking back in verse 10 then, well, this amazes me that the Lord would marvel in us, right? But in verse 10 it says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So it seems impossible that we could impress our Creator, right? But we do. And he's impressed in us by having faith in him. So that's just amazing to me that that we can impress our Creator. And I think that's what you've got to hold on to. That again, as many prayers were this morning, just believing in the Lord and that he loves us, and through all the songs we sang, it was just a testimony of what he has for us. And the truth that he has, and just the unshaking change that he is, right? He's never going to change. He'll always have us in the palm of his hand. So you can go through more scriptures that talk about many of the miracles that happened. Matthew 9:2, it was the healing of the paralytic. In Mark 5:34, there was a woman that was sick for 12 years. Mark 5:36, again, that's when the 12-year-old child had died. And then in Luke 18:42, the blind beggar. And in all of these, really it came back to it's their faith that healed them. Obviously, they went to Jesus, but it was their faith that they had that they could be healed, and they were healed. So do we see miracles today? I think there are. Do you believe that miracles can happen? I think we do, right? But sometimes do you? I mean, truthfully, do you really think? It's almost like some people say, well, that's a long time ago. That was then. It's not now. He's the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be forever. Amen. So miracles are happening. You know, read the voice of the martyrs, the things that are going on in the persecuted countries. I think a lot of stuff you see, it's a miracle. And it's pretty awesome to see. And it's, again, it's the refreshing of faith that these people have so much faith that they're willing to go out on that field to serve the Lord, and they're willing to die for him. It's awesome. And that should, you know, renew the faith in you that you have in him, that he can work miracles in every situation, whether it's something small or something large. He can move. Then if you look in Acts, you don't have to turn here, but kind of in Acts 1:18 through 3:20, you know, talking about the moral degradation of people and what we had, and what had to happen was the Spirit needed to come. And it was only through righteousness to be received. It was by faith. And so it was by the Spirit coming into our lives, or that was given, that, you know, one voice could be heard. It was a lot of rambling and a lot of clanging, a lot of things going on that were just, it was chaos. But once the Spirit was given, wow, it was a change, right? And we have that. We have that same Spirit that can live within us today if you receive and if you let him live out in you. The last one here, let's go to 1 John 5. And then verse 4. 1 John 5, 4. So for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So again, our victorious life that we can live is in response to our faith. And by doing those actions, we can overcome things because there's victory, because the Lord increases his Spirit in us. And you can say, well, he gave you, if he's given you the Spirit, you got it, right? Well, he can give you more and more. And if you're faithful and believe in him, you can just be renewed and refreshed to where it just takes you, you know, to places you've never been. And I think that's what you got to remember, that, you know, once you say yes to the Lord, that's just the stepping stone. That's the start. You know, don't give up. Don't expect anything less. And if you've been a Christian for, you know, 5 minutes or 50 years, the same Spirit lives within, and he wants to live within you and give you more and more and more. So you need to, you know, believe it. You know, there's more power available from the Lord. But do you want to receive it? And do you believe it? We do. We do, and we need to. Again, in the times that we live in, you want it more and more now, just the, you know, knowledge of understanding. Why do these things happen, Lord? Well, he tells you in Scripture, it's not what matters now, it's what's to come. You know, don't care. Don't worry about what's happening now. You know, it is happening, it's evil, but I'm in it. He's got us in the palm of his hands, and nobody can pluck you from it, right? Live by that, right? The next one is hope. And I think the key is here, it's unswaying hope. So the definition for hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So there's a lot of things that we can hope for. We can hope that our kids do well, that they're obedient, that things are right. I remember when we had the interview for Max, and you're trying to just, okay, everybody be orderly. It was Mason was going to go to Max. And so Tess and I are in the living room with the Max people and doing the interview. And, oh, yeah, is he a good kid? Yeah, yeah, he listens well and he does well. And all of a sudden, Mason's walking outside our window out in the front yard. And it's like, he's not supposed to be out there. He was supposed to be part of this interview. Well, he went off and did something. He was like, oh, come on. These guys are going to deny us, right? Oh, but it was nothing, right? We made it a bigger deal than it had to be. And I've heard many stories like that where, you know, you're always trying to have things in order and perfect, and it's not what life is, you know? I think of camp this year with Danny and talking about, you know, wanting to be, I guess, servants. And you know, some people, if people invite you over or not, and things like that. And I think of Tess and I and wanting to have people over, but our lives are so busy that we have a messy house. We need to get over that, you know. We don't invite some people because it's like, oh, it's just a mess and we don't want to deal with it. And I'm being kind of transparent here, but that's how it is, right? But we need to get past that, you know. We need to get over that, and we just need to love on one another and accept us for who we are, and we have a hope. I think of another thing more of a, you know, here of a hope in our youth. I just am really inspired by the youth that we have in the things that are going on with the, you know, Jacob Wetterling and this whole 11 thing. They found him, and now a lot of schools, you know, Marshall carried his jersey out at a football game. They're living by the 11 characteristics of what he wants, you know, and it's just being good people, really, is what it comes down to. And, you know, the Wetterling family had a hope that he would be found alive. Then he was found dead. They still had a hope. They had a hope that what he lived for would live on. And again, that's temporary, realistically, right? What he had lived for is temporary. But what we live for is a hope of things eternal. You know, that's awesome. And I think of the young generation of high school kids or college kids that we're saying, look up to these, you know, NFL players or whatever we need to look up to. And these guys are, you know, kneeling during the Star Spangled Banner. They're creating all this chaos and mess, and it's just stupid. It's stupid stuff, you know. They have their own agenda because different things matter to them, and you know they're getting suppressed and whatever. So now you're seeing the youth of our nation stepping forward and standing for these things, and they're going and greeting veterans, and they're shaking their hand and saying, "I thank you for what you've done for us." You know, a lot of people give up on the youth of this world, seriously. A lot of people said, oh, we're doomed. I don't agree with that. I think there's a hope in these kids. Again, it's things that, we'll look in Scripture here, it's things that are unseen, right? It's the true hope. And whatever these kids, if they're making right choices, it's the things that are unseen, hopefully in here, that the Lord is starting to work in the youth of our nation to overcome these things and to step up and to be, you know, the youth that really bring the Lord and hopefully bring revival, right? But we got to believe in them. We got to encourage them. We can't just stand back and say, yeah, there's no hope for you guys. That ain't going to work. Does it work for yourself? I mean, if you have, you know, people come and say, yeah, well, that's the way it is. No, we can overcome things through Scripture. It tells us everywhere where people overcame a lot of things. Let's do it, right? So let's look at Romans 8. 24 and 25, and this is again talking about the hope that is unseen. So Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So there you go. It's the things that we don't see. Again, throughout Scripture, everywhere, there's things that happened. I mean, you think of people having visions. I think of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, where he had the dream, and it was Daniel that had to interpret for him what that dream was, and it played out, right? But it was things that he hoped for that they didn't see at the time, but they trusted and they hoped for what was to come, and it played out. And that's what's happening in Scripture, and that's what's happening in our lives. Where you are today is not where you will be tomorrow, but you need to have a hope in Christ and know that he can overcome all things, and he will overcome all things. So press on, encourage one another, love on one another. Let's go, let's fight the fight, right? And then there's a hope that we sang about this morning, which is the hope of the resurrection. That's really where it lies. It's the hope of the resurrection. You know, we again, I feel that the world seems like a lost place in most areas and the things that are happening. But we get on our knees and pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our kids, our family members, whoever it is, that the Lord would just really move and in them. And you need to get more than, I mean, obviously prayer is number one. You need to pray and you need to read your Bible, but you need to act too. You can't just sit back and that's it. I mean, the Lord's going to do it, but he wants to use each one of you as a tool in the, you know, in the toolbox to go out and reach people in Minnesota and Ghent and Marshall and the surrounding areas. You know, it could be in India. You think of this Hardee's thing and wow, that's pretty awesome. You know, you can go get big, fat, dumb, and happy and eat Hardee's and it's going to buy a moped. Who would think, right? I mean, realistically, though, but to see what those two are going to do, to go present these motorcycles to these pastors and really, you took part in it. And what was it out of you? I mean, $8? I mean, realistically, it doesn't take much for you to make a lasting effect on something that's down. You know, again, you may never see it, but it's a change in the world that in India, more people can be reached. Awesome. Let's do it. I expect everyone there on Tuesday. Yeah. But again, it's a work that the Lord has. I just think, again, you know, we're part of things and part of missions here at Bethel, and I think that's why it's so nice to have the connections, and then having, like, when we got to Skype, just to kind of have that connection to feel that, hey, what's happening out there is really a part of what we are doing as a church with, you know, financially. And there's been times that we've sent clothes, or even Tom and Elena have went. So it's just really neat to see that we have, you know, a lot of unreached people that we actually here in little Minnesota are having a lasting effect on. It's awesome. So let's look at the hope of the resurrection. And let's go to 1 Peter 1. So 1 Peter 1, 3. Then we'll go through verse 5. 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, for who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So there's your hope. It's a living hope. And it goes on and on and on, right? It's just, that's, I mean, really, you know, some of this stuff is so simple. You know, when we sang about all these songs this morning, it just relived what I had on paper. And it was just like, Lord, I don't even need to go up there. What we worshiped is all that you spoke. And it's just, this makes it easy. I can just re-say what everybody already sang, right? But it gives you, you know, a hope, and it gives you an elevation of, wow, Lord, you know, you care about me. And it's a confirmation to me that, you know, the times that you're praying, that you want the Spirit to move in your life or wherever you're at. You know, again, we prayed in that room over there right before church that the Spirit would really move in worship this morning. And we do it every Sunday. And we don't just say it because we want it to move. We expect him to move. We want the Spirit to move, right? Why else do you come here? You know, otherwise, you know, if you're coming here for other reasons, well, you're probably not going to get out of it what you want. But hopefully you come here with expectant hearts that the Lord's going to change you and refresh you and renew you. But it's not just Sundays that needs to happen. It's every day. His mercies are new every morning, right? New every morning. So go for it. And obviously the last one in here is love. And so the definition of love is an intense feeling of deep affection. And obviously, I mean, you could just say one word and we could be done. Jesus. Right? I mean, I could end right there. But we're not going to. Because what he did for us is such a great love that, you know, again, we need to really live by what he did and understand what he did for us. You know, we had no hope without him dying on the cross for us. But he was God and he was human. So really, they could have, you know, done whatever they wanted or done anything on how we were to be saved. But it was, he died. It was inflicted with pain and sorrow and challenged for you, for each one of you individually, for your sin, that you could be free from it and that you could live on. And obviously there's, you know, tons of scriptures about love. Obviously Mike stated John 3:16. Obviously that's the one that's well known. But, you know, again, love is all over the Bible, and it's the reason why love is the greatest of all. And we need to make sure that we're loving people and that we live it out. So first is, I think, what we need to look at is relationally. So let's look at 1 John 4. We'll go to 1 John 4, 8 and 16. So in verse 8, let's go up to 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Pretty straightforward. Can't get that one messed up. And people on saying, well, that's not what that really means. God is love. What else can it mean? That's it. It's clear. God is love. And what he did for us is great. So I think when you look at it looking at it in the text of the church of God as love, is we are to love one another. And I think when you look at God's people, everybody here is God's people. And if you have a brokenness of a relationship within the church, it reflects on your relationship with God, really. And so, to me, it was a challenge on, if you have a beef with somebody or you just can't stand the way they do that, that's not just a problem with them. It's a problem with your relationship with God. And that should be of great importance to you to get rid of it. And so, we just got to make sure that we're loving one another. Again, we can rub shoulders the wrong way, but in the end, when we do things together as a church, it's rewarding, it's refreshing, it's encouraging. And again, I think, the life is so busy that we live, but the church is our true family. And living with the church family and being with them more, obviously more things can happen. But if you really think about it, if we're praying as a church and we're mingling as a church and we really are experiencing each other's, burdens together, a burden of a single person can be lifted because we're taking it on as a church. And that's a great feeling. When you feel isolated, it's so hard to, look at things in a way that you just get all down and, kind of cranky about it. It's like, well, Lord, he doesn't care about me or this or that. But that's not the case, right? And the Lord loves us so we can love others, and it starts here. We first need to love in the church, and it's important that you're a part of a church, which is obviously why we come together every week. But again, it's not just on Sundays that we should partake with each other. There's a lot of opportunities and chances that you can help out, whether it's, youth group or prayer meetings or lots of things, I guess. Right? There's things that you can do to mingle with one another and love on one another, and hopefully it doesn't tire you out because you really got to look at the list of things that are priorities and see where you should go. And I'm guilty of it. It's a struggle sometimes, and we really as a family need to look at what we're doing and why we do the things we do. Are they really for serving the Lord, or are they for serving ourselves? And that can lead us in wrong directions. So, I guess just love of relationships that we have with each other, and that we can heal damaged relationships, and that the Lord can mend them and bring us back together, whether it's in the church or in your family or wherever else it is, Again, I pray for my family this morning as we sat there after shingling last night. A lot of them are needy. There's a lot of them that, the things they were saying, it was just like I wanted to put earplugs in and pretend I was still shingling because it was just stuff that you didn't want to hear. But it wasn't that I didn't want to be with them. It just grieved my heart that they don't see what the Lord has for them. And it's hard. So, and I think of last week too, on the float, when we were, I rode on the float and with the rock that Bob had found with the cross in it, and God's the rock. And when you drove by, there's people, obviously kids wanting the candy, but a lot of the adults saw the rock, and the ones that could see the side with the cross, a lot of people like, wow, that's cool, and it's like, there was a lot of Catholics that I knew and that were saying things like, wow, that's really neat, and they meant it. But it was just an opportunity right there that, I just wanted to love on them. And I prayed for them right there, as we're driving through. It's like, what a great opportunity to just love on people. And I didn't, it was through a message and through a rock that has a cross on it that, you know, spread a message to people, you know? So again, you think that we got to do all these things. Well, we didn't. The Lord used a rock. It doesn't do anything, and he used it, right? So if he can use a rock, he can use you. Let's do it. Yeah, and I guess love, the greatest sacrifice that he had was when he gave up his life. And really, you know, when you think of giving up, you think of something has to go. But when he gave up, it was kind of the other way, right? He gave up, but he gave to us. So we received, in a sense, right? It was by his dying on the cross that he gave us eternal life. So what, we didn't have to give up anything. But what he gave up was something that was eternal, rewarding for all of us. And so it talks about in John 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." So the Lord had that opportunity. Jesus had that opportunity. And the hope we have in love is that the Lord loved us so much that he's going to send his Son again to bring us all home. And whether there's people that have passed on already that are, you know, longer with us, or he comes when you're alive, the souls, you know, we will get new bodies. It'll be a great charge. It'll be refreshing. And that's really the greatest promise we have, is the hope in Jesus Christ that we will one day see him in glory. And, you know, the frailties of me walking like an old man last night will be gone. All of that will be new. You know, whatever scars you had in life will be gone. You will get to just glory with our Redeemer. What a great opportunity. So I just think, again, with all these things that we hear, I think it really comes down to, with faith, hope, and love, is just really living them out and really living and abiding by what he has. Again, where it said in 1 Corinthians, talking about, you know, and the greatest of these is love. You need to live by all three. But if you're not going to love first, then the others really don't matter. And so, you know, I just encourage you to do that and take ways to do that that you may think may be mundane, whether it's, you know, sending a thank you letter or just an encouraging text or whatever it is to, you know, somebody in the church, just to, out of the blue. Why not? Because I think, again, that's how the Lord is always meeting with us. And when you feel like you're part of a family, you just feel more refreshed and you feel like, you know, we're connected. And that's who we are as a church, is we're Bethel Fellowship Church. And what we have to do is to serve a community that we live in. But it all starts with Christ. There's nothing we can do on our own. It's really by the power of Christ. And I think that's what the hope we have to have and we have to live by. We have to have faith that in Jesus Christ alone, all things will work out for good. And they will, because the scripture says it. Yeah, he can attest for what we are and what we will be and who we will be to come when he sends his Son back to bring us back. You know, and I think that's kind of what I wanted to close with, was the song "In Christ Alone," because when you look at the words, don't just sing them. If you want, look at the words, you know, live them out. I'll just read part of it. Is, you know, again, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. It's as simple as that. So let's pray and then, just mingle with the Lord. And as you sing these songs, you know, sing this song, really live it. Really believe it. Take it with you this week and, you know, go through it. And when you're down, or if you have something going on that you're, you know, not, you just feel like you're tense or whatever, read these words and know that the Lord has you and he'll take care of you. So let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity to serve a God that is greater than all things, Lord. We don't understand the things that are going on in our nation and in this world, Lord, but we have a hope, Lord, and we have faith that you will work things all out, that you are in it, Lord. You are here today, Father. You are in us, Lord, and using us as vessels, Father. So I just pray if there's people that have never received you, Lord, that they would just be open, Lord, that there is a hope, and it's in you and you alone, Father. I just pray, too, as those that have known you for a long time, Lord, that they'd be refreshed this morning, Lord, that they'd be renewed in their belief in what you have in their lives, Father, and that you would just encourage them, Father. I, again, pray for our time together, Lord, as a church, that we get to worship freely this morning with you, Lord, and that we can just encourage our kids and just encourage the people of Mineota, Lord. I just think of this town that we live in that has just so many people that are unreached, really, Lord, that just need to be loved, Father, and I just ask that you charge us with that, Father. I pray for our time together again, Lord, and just ask that you bless the remainder of this day, Lord, and I think of Tom and Elena, Lord, that you'd refresh them this morning too, Lord, as they are off with Rebecca, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.